Before a producer hits record or before a journalist picks up a pen, someone like you notices something and wants to understand it. Every day, we invite you to keep asking questions like why and who and how. Because NPR begins with questions, not conclusions. And your right to curiosity is a right worth protecting.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Friday, July 10th. Local leaders gathered downtown to highlight a bill that takes on housing affordability. More on that next, but first, the headlines. After 4 years of studying our coast, scientists at UC San Diego feel they can now better predict a cliff collapse or landslide. The scientists at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography say they were able to predict 5 landslides hours and days before they occurred. The Union Tribune says their earliest forecast came 2 days before a landslide on the Del Mar Bluffs back in 2024. Scientists now want to develop an early warning system based on the success of their findings. Researcher Adam Young says the results look promising.
We were expecting to see some sort of signals prior to the collapse, but it was surprising, I think, at how good the data turned out to be and how consistent it was for these types of landslides that we were monitoring.
They say the warning system could become a part of Alert California, the public safety project used statewide to alert the public of fires and evacuations. Would raising the city of Chula Vista's hotel tax by 4% create enough funds for a new city tourism bureau? Voice of San Diego says the city of Chula Vista is considering it and even hired a polling firm to look into what kind of backing the measure might have. The current base hotel tax is 10% for guest stays that are 30 days or less. The city council member leading the measure says it could generate just shy of $3 million annually. Other uses for potential revenue coming from the hotel tax would hire more police officers, improve 911 emergency response, maintain city parks, and create more jobs. Congrats, Little Italy, on the return of your food hall. The Union Tribune says the reopening cost more than $3 million and construction took 6 months longer than initially expected. Little Italy's 5,000-square-foot Global Fork Food Hall features a diverse selection of food, including lobster, pizza, a burger joint, Thai food, and ice cream. The chief operating officer for hospitality says the food hall also offers live music on Friday and Saturday nights. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, presenting a new 2025 Corolla. With classic styling, available 10.5-inch touchscreen display, Toyota Safety Sense 3.0, and more. See your Toyota dealer for all Corolla options. The San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.
Congress passed a major bipartisan bill last month that addresses housing affordability. Public Matters reporter Jake Gatta was downtown on Thursday, where local leaders highlighted the importance of the legislation.
The 21st Century Road to Housing Act is a sweeping package that tries to address a range of housing issues. In San Diego, it could mean an increase in the number of homes built.
The most effective way to lower housing costs is to increase housing supply.
That was Congressman Scott Peters from San Diego.
The 21st Century Road to Housing Act is landmark federal legislation to increase housing supply and make housing more affordable for everyone.
He helped draft a provision in the federal bill to make manufactured and modular homes easier to build. He was joined by Carolyn Yu, the head of the Regional Task Force on Homelessness. She says efforts to boost production are imperative.
The reality is simple. Homelessness cannot be solved without housing. One of our greatest challenges isn't a lack of collaboration. It's the shortage of housing people can actually afford. The Road to Housing Act helps address that challenge in meaningful ways.
And Stephen Russell, who heads up the San Diego Housing Federation, agreed.
It also streamlines federal environmental review for infill housing projects, which has added months and sometimes years to affordable housing development timelines, even when California's own environmental law, CEQA, was satisfied. That delay costs money, and money decides whether projects get built and whether struggling families get a home.
Because the bill has bipartisan support, it's set to become law even without President Trump's signature. Jake Gatta, KPBS News.
The California Department of Motor Vehicles is offering little explanation for why thousands of drivers across the state are being required to retake their written test. KQED's Katie DiBenedetti reports.
About 11,000 Californians have been told that they need to redo their written driving exam or have their licenses canceled. The DMV says it's identified anomalies in some knowledge test results taken between last July and this April. But the department hasn't responded to questions about whether individuals were suspected of cheating or if there were issues with testing machines or grading. People who receive a letter requiring a retest will have to pass again within 30 days to keep driving.
That was KQED's Katie DiBenedetti. San Diego County's Department of Animal Services released a new report this week from an outside animal welfare consulting firm. Reporter Elaine Alfaro sat down with Department Director Dr. Bree Sarvis at the Bonita Animal Shelter to discuss the report's findings.
The consultant Team Shelter USA took a broad look at the Department of Animal Services. Their report assessed how county shelters handle staffing, medical care, population management, euthanasia, and kennel cleaning. Dr. Bree Sarvis requested the review last fall. She was named director of the department in April and previously served as the county's chief veterinarian.
We requested the assessment because we wanted to get an accurate picture of where the shelter is currently, what the highest priority needs are, and in order to best focus our efforts to improve everything.
The report highlights a number of successes at the department, including improved leadership and a declining dog euthanasia rate. But it also points out problems, including overburdened staff and unclear guidelines around shelter policies. Sarvis acknowledged county shelters have their share of challenges, especially during the summer.
June through August are usually the busiest time of year, and a lot of times our staff's efforts are really just focusing on making it through each day, making sure that every animal is cleaned and fed, and they have trouble kind of like taking a step back and looking at the big picture, and certainly have trouble with any big protocol changes. But I hope to get at least some of the recommendations that we haven't already started on going in the next several weeks.
Over the past year, KPBS published a series of investigative stories that detailed some of the long-standing issues at county-run animal shelters. For example, the investigation revealed the department's dog euthanasia rate spiked coming out of the pandemic. Sarvis said the shelters are continuing to improve their workflow around documenting dogs' behaviors and making euthanasia decisions.
It's very important that we get very thorough notes about what's going on with the animal. So we're working to ensure that both our staff and our volunteers are giving us a lot of input about an animal's behavior, and that we're using objective language. So that means you're not saying, oh, he looks angry or he looks friendly, but you're actually describing what the body language of the animal looks like so that we can make better decisions.
Those changes are showing results. The dog euthanasia rate dropped by about half since 2024, according to recent county data. KPBS's reporting also uncovered how the department buried an audit several years ago that pointed out issues at its shelters, some of the same problems raised in the new report. Sarvis acknowledged that past audit.
We do see similar issues to some of the previous reports, and I think that it just shows that it's really important for us to be transparent and open about where are our weaknesses, and to have a discussion not only with our leadership but with the public about the best ways to handle those things.
Sarvis says the dated Bonita shelter has made it difficult to implement certain changes. For example, kennels are still being hosed down with dogs inside, a clear violation of shelter industry standards. The county is building a new shelter in Santee to replace the Bonita facility. The department believes the facility will provide an opportunity to address outstanding problems. In the meantime, Sarvis says the department is focusing on supporting staff and building trust with the community.
It is an issue that all shelters struggle with, no matter how many resources they have. But I do think that committing to being as transparent as possible about our processes, ensuring that for every situation, for every animal that might have a, you know, positive outcome, that we're reaching out for all of the options for that animal.
Completion of the Santee shelter has already been delayed several times. A county spokesperson said the shelter is expected to open this October. Elaine Alfaro, KPBS News.
Your Fluff is Enough is a new children's book featuring Lenny the Little Sheep. It is the first in a series of Wiggly Wriggly farm stories and was created by two local San Diegans. But arts reporter Beth Accomando says neither creator ever thought they would be making a children's book.
Today, we're going to Wiggly Wriggly Farm to meet Lenny the Little Sheep.
Lenny had always been smaller than most, with knobbly knees and a less than full coat. He'd watch other sheep with their curls all in line and wonder, why does their fleece look nicer than mine?
Lenny's the creation of Rashmi Gandhi, who never intended to write a children's book.
I spent a lot of time in corporate America, and having managed teams who are difficult, I had a wonderful manager, and I said to him, we should write a book because it looks like we've handled a team of animals at times, and wouldn't it be great if we wrote a communication and teamwork book about how a farm works, but analogize people to animals.
But then she started thinking about taking the idea in a different direction.
I think the first thing is I wanted to have a book I wish I had when I was growing up about really recognizing that you are enough. And secondly, I have nieces and great nieces, and I really wanted to leave them something that said, you guys are perfect as you are, your fluff is enough.
Once it became a children's book, Gandhi knew she needed illustrations, so she turned to fellow San Diegan Darren Oy, an artist whose doodles she fell in love with.
And so then it was a matter of, yeah, this sounds super fun. I've never done anything like it.
Original Lenny looked like he was buff at the gym. Like he worked out at least 4 days a week and ate a diet of protein
right.
And
peptides.
Yeah. But I think the other piece, Darren, you said, which was really important during the process was, the characters should be ones that all children can draw.
So specifically with the shapes of the characters, I was thinking a lot of roundness, a lot of soft curves, a lot of colors that are a little bit more easier on the eyes rather than bold colors. I was thinking like big head, small body. That always feels kind of like a fun animated quirk. So ultimately it came down to like, how do we create a character that has that stuffed animal look? Can this character be turned into a stuffed animal that kids would want to bring home with them? Once we answered yes to that question, that's where it felt like, okay, this is the design we can land on and now develop
yeah.
further.
Now, Lenny is one of four adorable, cuddly animals at Wiggly Wriggly Farm.
Lenny is a little sheep who perceives that he doesn't have as much fluff or as much fur or wool as all the other sheep. He doesn't feel adequate. And his story is that he realizes that actually he is adequate. Again, each of the characters has a perceived flaw, a self-perceived flaw, that becomes their superpower.
Some of the perceived flaws are familiar, like feeling overweight or shy. But Daphne the duck is dealing with something that reflects a form of diversity that's often been overlooked.
And then we have Daphne, who doesn't quack like other ducks. And that was really an analogy for me around children who have speech impediments, or I was thinking about, you know, refugee children who come to different countries. They have different accents. They can't speak the language, but they all have something to offer.
Gandhi has already written three more Wiggly Wriggly Farm stories and is self-publishing the entire series.
Self-publishing really allows you to have entire control.
It also means more work, as Gandhi has had to take on marketing. But her corporate organizational skills have helped her map out a plan that includes a website.
Our website, quick plug, is happywiggly.com. So there's an interactive map where people can go on, kids can go on with their parents or caregivers and click on the little animals and find out more about them. We have activities like build your own confidence crown, make your own kindness cards. Again, the whole world is about sharing kindness. And I know that sounds trite, but I really felt like this world at this time really needs more kindness.
At a time when some people dismiss empathy as a weakness, teaching children the importance of kindness and the value of believing in yourself feels like an inspiring gift. Oh, your fluff is in love. Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
An online art shop is opening its first brick-and-mortar location this weekend in Barrio Logan. Arts reporter Audie McAfee explains what the new space means to its founder.
A mural of a Kurdish woman holding grape leaves faces a Mexican woman holding corn on the front of Gian Rio Sandy's store, Local Brown Baby. The artwork sets the tone for the shop and represents the many parts of her upbringing.
These women face each other because they also come from cultures of resistance that fight against oppression and discrimination. And they face each other because they're looking at each other in conversation, and they're symbolizing that transcendence of borders, that our struggles are more connected than they think they are.
Zandi started Local Brown Baby online more than 9 years ago as a space to share her art and connect with others. A library wall facing the entrance features books celebrating a range of cultures alongside handmade goods from local artists and creators. She hopes the new shop will create the community she says she didn't have growing up.
It's the little brown girl inside. For a lot of people, you know, for people who do connect with it, I think it's that not only the little girl, but the inner teenager too. This is a love letter saying, be yourself 100% and see the beautiful things that come when you unapologetically are yourself.
Local Brown Baby's grand opening is Saturday at noon in Barrio Logan. Audie McAfee, KPBS News.
As we do for you each and every Friday, here are some weekend event ideas happening across the county for you and yours. On Fridays throughout the month of August is Music on Main in El Cajon. It's a free live music concert series featuring local and regional acts playing diverse genres ranging from rock to country to jazz. Saturday seems like a pretty ideal day to take the kiddos and head over to the live action Moana Celebration and Island Festival. From 3 to 6 p.m. in front of Mission Valley's AMC, you can attend a hula or lei-making lesson or simply sit and enjoy some live music. Sunday may be a great day to slow down and enjoy the sounds of Beethoven by the bay. The Rady Shell will be filled with the sounds of the San Diego Symphony Orchestra's rendition of some of Beethoven's classics. Whatever you decide to do, enjoy. That's it for the podcast today. The podcast today was edited by Tracy Tong and hosted and produced by me, Lawrence K. Jackson. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the Museum of Contemporary Art San Diego, now showing Giants, art from the Dean Collection, featuring art from the collection of Swiss Beats and Alicia Keys, and Hometown Heroes, a photography collection reflecting the rich culture of the border. More at mcasd.org.